are listening to the McCarthy Project live from Minnesota, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are coming to you today from actually sunny Minnesota, finally. It's been a couple weeks of downtime and 45 degrees and rainy and just really not fun outdoor weather, but it has turned today and looking forward to getting out this evening. But over the last couple weeks, we've been talking about the love of the game and how do young people develop it? Is it something that is just innately in people, or is it something that gets kind of pushed out, you know, as kids start earlier and play one sport earlier? So I've asked Bailey Coleman, who's the head coach for UAB Sand Volleyball, to kind of come on the show to talk about how can young people begin to understand that they can do it for bigger things and they can develop the love of the game rather than just playing because they're supposed to and what everybody else is doing. So how you doing today, Bailey?
I'm doing great. Great. Great to be here.
Cool. Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for taking the time. Like you mentioned off air, it always is fun to talk about sports and talk about volleyball and then add a little going outside with it, and it really does become quite a fun experience.
Yeah, so, it's 85 and sunny here in Birmingham, so we've got the perfect weather.
Well, now, way to rub it in right out the chute. You know, it's probably shouldn't have been with the weather, now that I'm thinking about it, with somebody from Alabama. But just to give a little background, everyone, on Coach Coleman is that she actually did play for 4 years at Georgia Southern, and then has coached indoor for 3 years at UAB, and has just completed her second year on the sand at UAB as well. So you really have kind of come through, I'm sure, the growing pains of starting a program relatively new, you know, and how do you get people excited about a sport that, you know, most people only see during the Olympics, you know what I mean, that type of thing. And so before we get into a little bit about that, I kind of jumped the gun a little bit, but talk to us about your career as a player and how you got excited about sand volleyball.
Well, I started, I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, so sand volleyball was always there on the beach for me to grow up and play on. So, you know, yeah, from a young age, I actually played with my brother a lot. So we would go out there, and it was always obviously more fun for him. And, you know, that's where it kind of all started. But at that time, there wasn't collegiate sand volleyball. So fortunately, now for the athletes these days, they have that option. But so I always had the indoor and got a scholarship to play at Georgia Southern, and then always played in the summer, adult leagues and junior leagues, and, you know, just fell in love with the game as we're talking about it. And had the opportunity here at UAB to, you know, take over the SAM program. Unfortunately, we had a death in the coaching staff, and I was luckily enough, our head indoor coach gave me the option and, you know, the promotion, and she really instilled in me that she knew that I could take it over. So I couldn't be more grateful for Carrie, who gave me this opportunity.
And see, that thing is, it is something, while the season, you know, it is something that has happened on the coast, because you talk to people in California, you know, and they've got 60 events they're playing in, but you're talking to somebody in Minnesota, you know what I mean? And I think we've got like 4 or 5 clubs, you know, that, you know, think about it. We've got probably 15 tournaments across the whole Twin Cities, and it's just in June and July. So it's really at its baby stage, you know, but when you talk about the coast, it really is something that's been going on a lot longer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Florida, California, obviously, I mean, they can't get enough of it. So I think the game is spreading throughout the country. I mean, to have these tournaments at least in June and July for kids, I mean, to get out there and have the opportunities, more and more opportunities are coming available, and, you know, can't be more excited about it.
Yes. All right. So now let's go over to kind of the meat and potatoes of why I think it's important. Is because a lot of young people today are playing sports, and they're playing 9 and 10 months out of the year. And some are specializing a lot earlier. Not that I think that's a great idea, but it just seems to be a fact from that standpoint.
Right.
But a lot of kids, you know, it's funny because I work with some young athletes, and we always talk about retiring when they're 18, you know, because they already had a 12-year career. You know what I mean? And we laugh at both of them, you know, both the kids and I laugh about it, but it's true. When you have a 12-year career in athletics, you know, it's about time to retire, you know. But that's in a lot of ways the time you get started, because you can play the rest of your life. And I don't think a lot of people, especially young people, understand that, you know, playing sport is actually something that you do throughout your whole life, not just, you know, when you're young and you're supposed to. But how do you develop a love of the game, and kind of how did you develop? Because like you just mentioned in your intro, you had that desire planted early, and you kind of say, oh, well, if I can't do that, I'll do this. So how did you switch it over?
How could you not love this game? You know, you're on the beach, the atmosphere is laid back. The kids are relaxed, but this sport is growing so much, and people are, you know, just getting out there, and whether it's in the backyard or a competition or just trying it, you know, these kids just have the opportunity now to go out there and just see what it's all about. I mean, this game is completely different than the indoor game. You know, there's so many more aspects and well-rounded athletes, and, you know, it's actually will help the burnout rate that we're talking about. Oh, retiring at 18. Well, yeah, but if you can go out in the sand and play, still doing the same volleyball skills that you would in the indoor, but now you're outside, you have that whole different aspect of the game, and now you can play for, you know, 3 months out of the summer and see where it goes. But just having the opportunity to start it, I think, you know, you can't learn but to love it. If you love the game already of volleyball, it's only going to make it stronger, I think. That's kind of how I started. It brings out a lot of insecurities in athletes because, oh, I got to do all the skills. But once you click and once you start to learn the game and how you can be successful at it, and you see, you know, you see yourself becoming better, you're only going to love it more.
You bring out an interesting concept when you say it puts a little fear because you have to play all positions. And that gets back to that specialization thing. So many young kids have been pegged as a setter or an outside hitter or a libero, and they just don't learn the full encompassing. And I think a lot of times that's what caused the burnout too, is because when you're young, you want to play all the things. You just don't want to do one or the other, and it gets boring after a while in their mind.
Right. I mean, yeah, the specialization, it can, you know, deter an athlete from the sand, but it also can help, you know, especially if an athlete wants to do dual. I mean, a six rotation outside hitter, I mean, we all know they're few and far between. sand is only going to help those hitters out in the middle. I mean, all positions, you can't go wrong with learning all the skills and being a well-rounded athlete, in my opinion. Now, some, you know, don't agree, but we've seen our dual players have been, I mean, just defensive-wise, have been from the very bottom to digs per match to being the second. Our setter was the second-best defensive player we had on the team. So, you know, you can say, oh, that's training, but what the difference was, sand or not sand. So we've seen what it's done to the indoor players, but we've also seen these sand kids, you know, erupt from a young age now in all these sand clubs around the country. And, you know, kids are learning, wow, I can do everything. I don't have to just be a middle hitter. I can pass, set, hit, you know, I can do it all while playing in the sand. And that opportunity is just growing completely.
Now, let's just talk a little bit more about the specialization, because I think it's a really key component to life. Because you mentioned, okay, say you have a natural athlete that shows up in your program and they're struggling, things aren't going the way they want to. They go outside and it changes up the game. It brings the desire to play. They're doing all these different things. And you're saying it actually elevated their play back in the indoor game.
Yeah, I mean, ball control-wise, I mean, at UAB, we do ball control for 20 minutes before practice, and just seeing the well-rounded, all our kids can do ball control, not just the DSs or outsides or setters or whatever. I mean, everybody can participate and run the drills that we want to as a team, so that team cohesion really heightens the competitiveness of practice, and just it's done nothing but better learning the shots, learning court awareness, learning, and we go from, you know, skill-wise to mental-wise. I mean, in the sand, it's you and your partner, and you got to figure out how, you know, we train a lot on defense mechanisms. When you make a mistake, I say the best athletes have the best short-term memory in the sand. I mean, you got to get over that quick. Yeah, that's what I tell kids. No, short-term memory. You know, you got to get over that mistake quick, because the next ball's coming. You're going to touch it no matter what. So it's not like you can hide, you know, hey, setter, I'm all right. Don't set me for the next 2 points. Let me get over this. I just got blocked twice, you know.
Well, you know, it all happened. Yeah, well, the funny thing that you mentioned is one of the biggest pieces to the love of the sport, in my mind, is understanding why everybody does what they do and make it like a dance. You know, if you could elevate it to a symphony or an orchestra from playing this fine you know, piece of music, and they're all working together and they all understand what each person is doing. So you've seen actually in your team this happen, where this actually brings people closer together.
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, partner-wise and team chemistry-wise, I mean, when you see the two players work it out, whether, you know, one's struggling and the other's doing really well, and for them to, you know, either shift over or take more court or, you know, figure out how they can work together. Because, you know, the beautiful thing about sand is we, and I love it, but the girls coach themselves and they have to problem solve, and they actually have to be an independent athlete mentally and physically. And for them to come together and mature and be independent and be able to control a match on their own, I mean, it's unbelievable to watch. You know, that's one of the reasons why I love this game so much, the independence. And
see, that's, I mean, you really opened up the Pandora's box. I mean, to rip off those things, who all doesn't want an independent athlete who can think and problem solve on the fly inside a system? That's just the essence of beauty. In my mind.
I totally agree with you. I mean, you practice those strategies and, you know, you coach and you work on that, and, you know, that's in practice. But when it's game time, you know, it's up to them to figure out how they, I mean, we can, you know, chit chat when we're switching sides or at timeouts and help them, give them a little point. But in the end, it's between them two. You know, you have little effect on what, how they perform. So they can't look to you to the side and coach be me. What did I do wrong? You know, that's when in practice you have to train them, you know, mentally for that.
See, and that's the truth, because one of the pieces to the puzzle, you know, and I'm going to kind of bring a basketball angle, because I was a basketball junkie when I was a kid, but Phil Jackson, you know, he did not get up there and rip it. I'm sure he yelled, you know, when it was appropriate, you know what I mean? But he didn't control the game like a lot of the, I call them power coaches, you know, where they just want to control everything, you know, and it really, there's no way that you could argue that an athlete that's independent, thinking for themselves because they want to, and they're engaged because they want to, that they, under pressure, can't think at a higher level than the person that's being told everything to do.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, the mental capacity of what, you know, those players that have to be told what to do every single point, you know, they don't have that maturity level that, you know, a sand athlete has to have. If you can't mature mentally, and, you know, you have to really figure out who you are as an athlete, what your strengths are and your weaknesses and what your partners are, you know, and when we try and partner up, we've got to see that, the chemistry, the personalities, and, you know, who can make their partner better. In the end, they're both going to be better for it. You never want to, obviously, two girls fighting each other the whole time, because that's never going to work. But, you know, it's a struggle, you know, partnering.
It's a good show sometimes on YouTube.
Yeah, probably.
That's about it.
Yeah. So it's just nice and it's refreshing as a coach.
And that's where you really, if you really get to the essence of being coaches, you know, I think the really ones are doing what we're talking about and really engaging athletes to be independent, because that is the love of the game in the end, is to go out there and compete and come through and get the goosebumps and feel the adrenaline and all those things are what we get there. But we have to get there and be good, right, so to speak. You know, how do we do it in those times on the Wednesday afternoon when it seems just better to sit down and do nothing?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to change the directions a little bit, because I think we're talking now, we've talked for the last, you know, whatever, 5-6 minutes, whatever, on the adult, you know, per se, the 18 and older crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you, as your position that you've sit in now for the last 3 or 4 years, and looking back into the younger crowd, you know, when you see a 12-year-old, you know, that's playing, you know, 9-10 months out of the year, just grinding it out already, you know, what would you recommend to those young people at the 12, 13, 14 range?
Get in the sand. No. Whatever you can do, get in the sand.
And then just run around. Do you believe in the organized practice scenario, or do you mean just get out there, have fun, take, you know, a couple of kids with them and spend the afternoon?
No, definitely. I mean, it's going to just relax the kids. They're so stressed out these days of, you know, you got 9-10-year-olds that are worried about where they're going to go to college. You know, come on, you're only 9 or 10. Let's find the love of the sport first. And then, you know, once you get that love, if you do or don't have it, you know, every kid's different, but with the kids that do find that love and that drive, they're only going to get better. But if we take that away by, you know, so structured, driven, you know, very focused, which is really great. Of course, these kids need to get better. But why not go in the sand, find 3 or 4 of your club teammates or high school teammates and go out there? It's only going to make, you know, it's first going to make you can relax and have fun as a kid, and you're playing volleyball at the same time. So you're finding the love. You know, even it doesn't matter if you're 9 or if you're 18 or if you're, you know, 15, it doesn't matter. But I think with this structured indoor club and, you know, seasons, that this sand could really break the mold and give something, you know, something different to these kids where it's not 24/7 all the time, but they're still playing volleyball, which, you know, is amazing. It's just a different aspect of it, which, you know, a lot of sports, you know, that's hard to do. You can't, there's not a lot of sports that have this different aspect that sand and indoor does. I couldn't promote, you know, going out there and just having fun and see where it goes, but you're just getting that love, like we say, back. And you're not getting stressed out, you're not getting burnt out as much. And it's just, it's a fun atmosphere. You can't not love sand if you love volleyball.
See, the funny thing is that I'll just put it, because I've done a lot of research on the angle of being outdoors. Just the connection, you know, you take away all the artificial connections. Like, have you heard of grounding before? And maybe you haven't, or haven't that before. But basically getting out there with no shoes on and getting grounded and then having being outside, you know, makes it 15 to 20%, you know, and then all the, you know, the sun, you know, makes your body. I mean, it really is quite a healthy environment, you know, from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating.
Go ahead. Oh, no. I mean, I totally agree. It's just a different atmosphere. And you don't know that atmosphere, and you can't until you experience it and realize, you know, what the game is all about and what it offers for these kids.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you very much, Coach.
No, I appreciate it.
Yes. Where can people get a hold of you? Because I think if I was a young person looking for a college, I know where I'd show up, because of this is what it's about. It's about understanding and getting out there and having fun and getting better in the end.
Yep, and having a great experience in the end. And, you can reach me, Bailey, B as in boy, A-I-L-E-Y, 22@uab.edu. And then always email me is the best option to get a hold of me, and love to talk more. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for coming on the show today.
All right. Thank you.